This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we heard in our last conversation, winter in the Midwest can be cold, dark, and sometimes depressing, especially during a global pandemic. The Scandinavians, however, have something to try and stem this, and it's called hygge. A couple of years ago, the term hygge actually made the shortlist for Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year. It's defined as a quality of coziness and comfortable conviviality that engenders a feeling of contentment or well-being. And it's a huge part of the Danish national character, and it's much more than just cozy blankets and lighting candles. Here to tell us more about hygge, what it means, and if there are some ways we Midwesterners can incorporate some hygge principles into our lives this winter is Honor Henrik Wilkinson. She's an analyst at the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen in Denmark. It's a think tank and a research organization that studies why some societies are happier than others. Honor, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So how would you define hygge? Is this a lifestyle, a value, a word that describes a feeling?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with all of those three, I think. It can be an atmosphere, a feeling, I would say also a value and kind of a cultural cornerstone for Denmark.
And is this a term that is used more often in winter, or is this a year-round concept in Denmark?
It's completely year-round, and it can be used to describe anything from meeting someone, so it can be hyggelig to meet someone, but it also can describe evening snuggled up by the fireplace reading a book and drinking a nice cup of hot chocolate. It really has such a broad spectrum of what it can include, but really it is just a fundamental pillar of life in Denmark.
So you mentioned the idea that it's a value, and I've seen interviews with one of your colleagues at the Happiness Research Institute, Mike Wiking, who is CEO there, and he's described it as essential to the Danish people as the concept of freedom is to Americans. Can you talk about the idea of hyggelig being a part of the Danish national identity?
Of course. So hygge has been in Denmark. I think the first appearance was in the 19th century. And it actually is a Norwegian. The root of the word is in Norwegian. But essentially, it has been used in Denmark to describe this kind of approach to life, which is very much about valuing what you have right now. So not necessarily wishing that things were different or you had more or your circumstances were different. It is and continues to be a way in which Danes express their gratitude for the way things are. Also, it's a way to describe, you know, being present and valuing time with your family and all the people around you, your loved ones. And that isn't just to say that it has to be when you're with other people. You can very much enjoy hygge when you're by yourself, but it is kind of including those fundamental cornerstones of gratitude, presence, enjoyment, comfort, pleasure. All of these things can contribute to making an atmosphere of hygge.
Is this a word that's used often in your work life at the Happiness Research Institute in Denmark?
So, of course, at the Happiness Research Institute, we are constantly wondering and researching why some societies are happier than others. And of course, then hygge definitely comes into it when we're looking at happiness in Denmark. And the way that I like to associate happiness and hygge, especially in Denmark, is that the reason that the Danes score at the top of the World Happiness Report ranking consistently ever since the first publication in 2013 is because the Danes have very extensive policies which allow them a very good work-life balance. So it's very common for people to leave the office at 4 or 5 in the evening and not open their computer when they get home. And what this then allows for is for them to make time for hygge every day. So what we say is that hygge is kind of a driver for everyday happiness, because the whole lifestyle in Denmark facilitates that, that enables people to take time, even if that's 10 minutes, if that's 2 hours, to incorporate some elements of hygge, whether that's just sitting down with your family for a nice meal and expressing gratitude for that, or if it is, you know, taking time for yourself. It can be anything, but the great thing about the whole lifestyle, the whole working culture in Denmark is that it allows time for people to take those few moments every day, which of course then increases life satisfaction.
I'm curious about the circle here, because Denmark is not alone in having what we in America would call progressive work-life policies, right? Parental leave and social support for people. But it does rank higher in this happiness, this world happiness report you mentioned often, than other countries. Is the circle that hygge leads to the policies, or is it something that's on top of them? How does that all fit together?
Of course, yes, it's a good question. And maybe it's good to start with as well what we mean when we talk about happiness. And when we're talking about Denmark and the other Nordic countries being some of the happiest in the world, we mean that they score very well on life satisfaction. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is running around laughing and smiling all day long, but all things considered, the course of their lives are going well. And that's the way that we differentiate it. So the Danes have high levels of life satisfaction. And I think it also comes down to politics and the political history of Denmark. But I think the way that most makes sense to describe the circle is that the policies enable Danes to have more time. And what is important to Danes is to take some time for hygge. So I think that's the best way of describing the relationship, that hygge is such an important cornerstone of Danish culture. And it happens that Danes have a lot of free time. And of course, they spend that doing hobbies and also all of these other things that make up a good life, but definitely taking time for hygge, because that is so important. And of course, if you have extra time, you're going to prioritize what's most important. And for many, it is taking time for hygge.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a term that's used quite often in Scandinavian countries, especially in the winter months, but year-round, as we've heard. It's called hygge. This is spelled H-Y-G-G-E. You might have seen it and initially thought, oh, hygge or something like that. Hygge is the pronunciation. It's defined as a quality of coziness and comfortable conviviality that creates a feeling of contentment or well-being. We're joined now from Denmark by Anner Henrik Wilkinson. She's an analyst at the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So when hygge came, sort of burst onto international consciousness, I think this was a few years ago. One of your colleagues I mentioned earlier at the Institute had a book that became an international bestseller. And suddenly Instagram, Pinterest, all the social networks were filled with pictures of blankets and candles and things like that. But hygge is not really about going to IKEA with a Scandinavian shopping list, right? I mean, this is about connecting with people and relaxing. Can you talk about hygge practices that people can bring into their daily lives in the winter?
Yes, of course. And it's good that you mentioned the winter, because Danes almost use hygge as a survival strategy for these dark, cold and long winters that we have up here in the north. And hygge is also it can be very subjective, but there are also some common things that Danes all tend to agree can be hygge. So dinners, you know, where it involves everyone kind of getting involved in the kitchen. So if that's, you know, slow roasting something or putting a lot of love and time and attention into a meal and then sharing it together with the people you love. And that can, of course, be your family or just the people you live with. But you can do that by yourself as well. So I would say cooking is a big part of hygge. And I think also good conversation. So much of hygge is about the atmosphere and the feeling. And that is very then conducive to good conversation. When you're in a nice, cozy, relaxed environment, it opens up, you know, different topics of conversation that maybe you don't talk about when it's stressful or you're in a busy bar or a restaurant or something, you know, it gives everyone the space to reflect and to talk about the things that are really meaningful. And I think that in these corona times, that is a really a good way to sustain our everyday happiness, is to talk about the things that we're grateful for, to talk about our dreams and our wishes for the future, but also to reflect on our good memories. So it's all the ways in which we can contribute to that very nice atmosphere that once when we're in it, we just feel good, we feel relaxed, we feel comfortable, we feel safe. And I think that's very important in this current context that we live in.
I hear from you, it's about, and maybe it's about creating the conditions for these moments, right? Is turning off our phone, is that, how hygge is that? Is that something that we should be doing? Yeah.
Definitely, of course. I think one of the easiest and quickest ways we can come present into the moment is to get rid of external distractions, and the phone can be a huge one.
Although we're also using it to connect, so I guess maybe in a way that being on the phone, if you can only Zoom with people, if you can't be in person because of the pandemic. Do you have any personal practices or traditions that define hygge in your life?
In my life, personally, I think it is just taking time for good conversations each day. That can be 10 minutes. And if I'm lucky, that can be 2 hours. And just then being grateful for that. So being present in the conversation, but after that, thinking, gosh, I'm very lucky to be able to connect with the people that I love in my life. And just having that daily practice of connecting with people, reflecting on it, being grateful, and you know, also giving yourself that kind of that luxury of sitting in a nice environment, you know, turning down the lights, maybe lighting a candle, maybe having a nice drink or a nice meal. It's definitely something you can cultivate. And I certainly cultivate that with, you know, Denmark is very dark. It gets dark at 4 o'clock. So as soon as it becomes dark, maybe the candles are lit. Maybe I start cooking something and just creating that nice environment in my home because I'm spending so much time here at the moment. So it might as well be a nice place to spend time in.
And, you know, you're right, because it is so difficult for us to connect, to have those connections now because of the pandemic, especially if there are loved ones we don't live with. And yet, on the other hand, some of us may want to escape close quarters with loved ones after months and months of being at home in sharing a house or an apartment with our families and kids because of the coronavirus. How specifically are the Danes viewing hygge as it relates to the pandemic?
I think hygge has always been a way that Danes seek comfort, whether that's from, you know, the weather or the elements or their busy lives or whatever it is. And of course, right now we are looking for comfort from the situation that we find ourselves in and have found ourselves in for a long time. And in Denmark, we also have recommendations that we should work from home if possible, and we should limit our contact with others. So it's definitely important right now to sustain our everyday happiness. And Danes have been often ranked at the top of the happiness rankings. And, you know, we're aware of our mental health and our mental well-being, and we want to sustain that. So a way in which we do that is by seeking out hygge and putting an emphasis on it, because right now we need to do whatever we can to feel good. And it's important to keep those levels of good feeling high on a day-to-day basis, and a hygge is an easy way to do that.
I wonder if you've encountered in your research on happiness and is hygge a concept that other cultures have? Maybe it goes by a different name or has slight variations, but is this something that you or your colleagues have found outside of Scandinavia?
I think hygge is definitely not something that the Danes own for themselves. I think everyone has probably experienced hygge in their life, but they just don't necessarily have the same word for it. So I can give an example of friends of mine who have come to Denmark from outside of the country and outside of Europe, and I tell them, you know, right now we're experiencing hygge. This is all it has to be. So I think it can go by many different names, and some people point to ones such as there's one called Kosli in Norwegian, which some people think of as a kind of comparative to hygge. But I do think that probably everyone in their culture has experienced the feelings that the Danes attribute to hygge, that connectedness, that presence, that gratitude, that feeling of safety and comfort. So I think just pipe whatever name you have for it in your culture, we know that from the research, everyone has experienced that feeling.
Well, I don't know about you, but this conversation felt very hyggly to me. So I appreciate your taking the time to speak with us. My guest has been Anner Henrik Wilkinson. She's an analyst at the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen. We've been talking about the Danish concept of hygge. Thank you so much for being with us today, Anner.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that is all the time we have for today. As we go to air, it is looking increasingly likely that Democrats are going to be in charge in the U.S. Senate. Tomorrow on Thursday, we are planning to bring you an interview with Democratic Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, who is poised, if that actually follows through with the projections, to become the majority whip for the first time in 6 years. That conversation coming to you tomorrow on the 21st, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.